Welcome, everyone, to our Friday Night Podcast. We're so glad that you could be here with us. I'm joined with my wife, Julie, and my son, Benji, over here. Producer Nat, giving us all the details in our ears that we need to know. And hopefully we will come out of this by the Spirit of the living God being more in tune with what he wants from his remnant. Right. Praise the Lord. So let's jump right into it. As most of you know, we are in the middle of a three-month special prophetically ordained 3 months that started May the 5th and that ends August 5th. God has more than fulfilled what he said that he was going to do, more than fulfilled. But we still have a couple of weeks left, and we're excited to continue to pray and expect God to do even more. He's already done so much, but we expect God to do even more. And so we're in a place of we're buzzing around here. Yes. Our lives are buzzing because the fire that is inside of us for what God has done these last couple of months. And so one of the things that God has really been dealing with me about, and I've been ministering, and as most people know that that are part of any kind of ministry that I do, God puts me into a place, and we stay in that place until God says, okay, it's time to move to something else. And one of the main places, or the place that God has us right now, is talking about what happens after salvation. That seems like such a basic, simple, you know, I know people think, well, you're talking about the remnant bringing back the Lord, and you're dealing with what happens after salvation. But here's the reason why. It all goes back to what Jesus said. He said there are few who find it. And the reason there are few who find it is that because people, the church has been, I'm going to use the word that A.W. Tozer used. The church has been tranquilized into thinking that if they say a few words, maybe get dunked in water, then their life is golden, and it doesn't matter after that. And Jesus himself said, he said, you're going to come. You're going to say that you did all these things for me in my name. You did great works in my name. You're going to come and clearly, you're going to want to get in. You're going to be not, oh, Lord, let us in. We believe. We want to be a part of it. And Jesus said, I'm going to look at you and say, I never knew you. And the reason is because people think if they say a few words and they're dunked in water, then they're that's it.
I mean, if that was the case, what would be the point of the Bible other than just a history book?
Well, that's a very good point. And so we want to read some scriptures. I think Julie called them aha scriptures, which is, you know, we've been married long enough. She knows that that's a phrase I like to use. When you have that aha moment, that where things just come alive to you. But scriptures that absolutely are not understood because people don't understand what God expects and how it works, that this is a process. That one of the things I've talked a lot about, and I'll remind you, is that sanctification, which is a major biblical word and a major biblical principle, that was something that I'm just throwing a number out there just for discussion's sake, but you know, 75 years ago, that word was deemed too hard to keep people in church. So they just kind of took that word and said, we're not going to use that word anymore. We're not going to talk about what it means to be sanctified. Whereas there was a time in the church that the Spirit-filled people, what would they always say? You have to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. That was a part of the process. I'm not saying they got everything right. We're far from getting it right. We know that because Jesus didn't return. And so, but it didn't move forward. It went backwards from there. It went backwards. So now in the church world, this idea of being sanctified is completely gone. We want to talk about some scriptures that can only be understood when you get inside of yourself the idea that after you're saved, it's a process. You are saved not to end the process. You are saved to begin the process. Mm-hmm. And because that is not understood, what did Jesus say? There are few who find it. There are few. He said the narrow gate weeds out people. That is against what most people today believe. They don't understand that that God is weeding out people. Their idea of everything is, oh, no, God has his arms like this and says, hey, you say a few words that you're golden. But that's not the word of God. God,
Jesus, in the parable of the sower, I mean, he laid it out, makes it clear that it's not just just anybody, any seeds and anybody who, you know, any ground.
It doesn't matter. That's right. And ultimately it takes us, and I know one of our scriptures, and I wasn't going to start with this, but I guess I'll just throw it out there. Ultimately, it gets to Hebrews 12, to a scripture that no one uses because they don't understand, where the word of God says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Because for God, it's holiness that matters. It always has been. From the very beginning of time until Jesus returns, the thing that matters to God is holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, we know you can't be holy before you're saved. It is only can only come after you're saved. And it can only come by being in a proper relationship that is separate, a separating relationship. I talked Sunday about how the key to everything is what Paul said. He said, come out from amongst them. He said, do not even touch what is unclean. And in today's biblical world, in today's church world, the big thing to say is, oh, there's nothing unclean. There's nothing unclean. And it's become such a misunderstood idea. Paul said, no. He said, you come out and you don't even touch what is unclean. And then God said, then I'll receive you. But no one understands that. They just say, I've said a few words, I've been dunked in water, I'm good. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that. So let's get to some of the scriptures. Benji, I gave you two scriptures in Corinthians. Just read those two scriptures to kind of set the atmosphere for us.
Right. First, we got 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Okay, let's very quickly. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what it said? For those of us who are being saved, that's the Apostle Paul writing that. He wrote it and he was talking about himself. He said, those of us who are being saved, not those of us who are saved, but didn't Paul give his heart to the Lord? Well, obviously. Didn't he commit himself to God? Obviously he did. But he still said, those of us who are being saved, you're not saved just because you say a few words. It is, it's misunderstood because, yes, God does make you a new creation. He makes you a new creation when you give your heart to him. But he makes you a new creation so that you can begin to walk properly. Read this next one in Corinthians.
Second Corinthians 2, verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing.
Again, you have two groups. You have those that are in the process of being saved and those that are perishing. Julie, go and read the first scripture in Ephesians.
Ephesians 2.
Yes.
I wanted to say it so much because you were talking
about it. Yeah, go ahead and read that.
For by grace, this is Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Now, that's where 99% of Christians end it. And they'll sit there and they'll do their little dance and cry and snot and say, oh, isn't this wonderful? But again, you have to remember, you were saved so that you can be a new creation, so that you can enter into the kingdom of God and walk in holiness. Listen to what it says.
Right, the very next breath. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Did you hear what it said?
Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
You are his workmanship. In other words, he made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. He made you a new creation. You're his workmanship for good works. That what? You're supposed to walk in them. You see, that is the people talk about New Testament understanding. That's the New Testament understanding.
And Paul, by the way, just saying real quick, Paul did not say, this is what I think you should do. He said, this is the purpose that God created you for.
That's absolutely right.
And that good works, that's not just good deeds to give.
No.
Do things.
Well, no.
For
it's the, yeah, right. It's, it, again, we don't have time to go step by step, but he's talking about holiness.
Yes.
That's what he's talking about.
Because some people hear that you're created in Christ for
no,
good
no,
works.
No.
And they go, oh, well, I'm going to go buy a bag of groceries and put it on the doorstep of someone.
If that's what you think, then you need to go listen to my Sunday sermon. You need to go listen to several weeks of messages. That's not what it's talking about. It's not. Where God's not looking for people to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's not what he's looking to look at. That's not what that means.
Well, the hands and feet of Jesus, if you really are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, you're going to go and heal the sick and raise the dead.
And walk in holiness.
And exactly.
And walk in holiness. That's what that's talking about. It's talking about holiness. But again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. It's you have to understand, it says you were saved, not by works that you did. Most people are good with that. They're glad to say, well, I can't do it, so I'll let God do it. They're glad, but they don't like the rest of it that says we're his workmanship. He made us a new creation. He owns us because we're his workmanship. If someone makes a toy, that's their toy. And I'm not trying to relate people to being toys, but I'm trying to give you the idea. If you make something, that's yours. God made you, he owns you, and he says, all right, since I made you a new creation, now you're going to do these works that I've set before you, these holy works. You've been made a new creation. So those are all give the idea that there's a process at work. Benji read the two scriptures that talk about those who are being saved. It's a process. Now I want to go, let's go to Philippians, Julie. And I have read, talked about this scripture for the last couple of weeks. Maybe we can get a little bit more in depth with it for a moment or two. And have you read that? As I said, I read it on Sunday. I actually read it the week before. So you can go and listen to those messages. But let's go ahead and read it now. And let's give what Paul was teaching about the very thing we're talking about. People read Philippians 3 and they're just like, oh, I love this scripture, but they never understand exactly what it's trying to say. So start, you know, where he talks about, I count my life as I give it all away. And I start with there and just start reading till I stop.
I'm going to start in verse 10 when he says,
yes,
that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from
okay,
the dead.
Let's just stop again. Let me just say what I said on Sunday. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the man who went, you know, to the third heaven and had these visions and wrote most of the New Testament. This is the Apostle Paul. What does he say? If by any means, if there's anything I can do to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Notice what he says. If there's anything I can do, he was living out what Jesus said when he says you have to lose your life. He was living that out. He said, if there's anything that I can do, but you, Pastor, I've heard my entire life that if I say a few words, if I'm dunked in water, then I'm just, it, nothing else matters. But nowhere in the Word of God does it say that if you're dunked in water, nothing else matters. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere. In fact, it says the opposite of that. Over and over again, it talks about the process of being saved. It talks, the Apostle Paul said, he says, if I can do anything, if I can do anything. I was just reading to them. I've talked so, probably 200 times at this point, about A.W. Tozier's message on the remnant. But we were sitting here right before we went on, and I said to them in the room, I said, I'm going to reread that to everybody again. And I just pulled out a little part of it where he was saying, he said, we're not scared. He said, we're not scared enough. We don't understand. We don't understand that the remnant, that is few who find it. He said, we don't understand. And we're just going and saying, his exact words were something along the lines of in the name of John 3:16, we're going and saying a few words and sending people home and not realizing that those people are then turning around and they're going to hell because they don't understand what these scriptures are saying. Keep reading.
Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on.
Okay. Now, again, he makes the point. He says, whatever I have to do to get the resurrection from the dead, I'll do. And then he wants the people who are reading that, the people 2,000 years ago and us today, he wanted them to understand. He's like, I'm not saying that I've already got it. I've not done these things. And he says, I'm still walking it out. I'm still required to walk in holiness. I still have to do it. I still have to live this out. And then how does he live it out? He said, I press on. If I were to tell you that we're going to go and really press hard, no one enjoys pressing hard. We want things to be easy. The narrow gate is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard. That by definition, go look it up in the Greek language. Go look it up. Go look up what it means when Jesus said the narrow gate. He said it's restrictive. It's narrow. It constricts you. It's hard. And that's what Paul was trying to say. He said, this is difficult. He said, I have to press on. Keep reading.
I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me.
Again, he's just said what I just got finished saying a few moments ago. Christ laid hold of him for salvation. He grabbed a hold of Paul and said, Paul, I am making you a new creation. But then Paul said, now I have to turn around and I have to go after it. He made my spirit new, but now I have to walk it out. I have to go after it now. Keep going.
Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended.
Oh, again, he wants to make the point one more time. I don't have it. I'm not finished. I've not gotten it yet. Keep going.
But one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ
Jesus. You see, Paul was dealing with the same things that we're dealing with today. He was dealing with churches all over the world. He was dealing with churches and people that were going, saying a few words, being dunked in water, and then going and living their lives. Let's put it in our language. They were going to ball games on Sunday mornings. They were taking their kids to travel ball. They were sitting in their kitchen table saying, come on, family. We're going to have our church and we're going to sit right here. They were sending people and to do good deeds here and there, saying, hey, if we do this and this, then that's what it means to please God. You know, it looked just like today's church. And Paul was trying to get them to understand, listen, I'm Paul. I'm the one that God has chosen to teach and to do these things. And even I have to keep pressing on. Even I have to make a decision that I'm going to do only one thing. This is what he said. He said, one thing I do, I forget the things behind me and I press toward the upward. That's the key. It's the upward call. It's holiness. Because the Bible says God is holy. Be holy. That's the upward call. Press for that. Finish it up where he says a little bit more.
Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you.
Again, he makes one final plea. He says, if you think anything else, if you think you know what it means to be saved, if you think you know what it means to teach people, if you think it knows what it means to be a Christian, he said, I pray that you forget it and that you listen to this, what I'm telling you to do. He said, this is what mature people do. This is what real Christians do. This is what people that are going to end up in heaven do. He was pleading with them. Playing with them. This is what people that end up in heaven, this is how they live. And that's why Jesus said, there are few who find it. And I've lived this last few months ministering this message of there are few who find it, because it is a fearful thing. And as A.W. Tozier said in his message about the remnant, he said, we're just not scared enough. And that sounds so against what's being taught in the church today. He said, we're not scared enough. He said, we're not. He said, we don't understand that a remnant is a small thing. And the Bible says the remnant shall be saved. He says, we're not scared enough in how we're serving and living and approaching the things of God. And then, well, Benji, the premise of what we're doing today is this, is that there are so many scriptures in the Word of God. There are so many scriptures that we don't understand. And we don't understand them because we don't understand that after salvation, it's a process. And because we don't understand that after salvation it's a process, then we either take much of the Word of God and we throw it away, we just toss it out, or we totally misuse scriptures. And what we do, what the church tends to do is they'll take the handful of scripture that they're comfortable with, and they'll only minister that because the rest of it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And then the other scriptures, they just misuse. The Bible talks about we have to work out our own salvation. Yeah. So what the church has made that to mean is, well, it's up to me how I serve God. This is my journey. It's up to me how I'm served. Each person has to serve God the way they want to do it. And that's not what it's saying. What that scripture says, you have to work out. What it's meaning is, once you're saved, you have to work it out. Yes. You have to work. You have to press on. You have to go through the narrow gate, and no one can do it for you. I can't go through the narrow gate for you. Only you can go through the narrow gate. But what did Jesus say? He said, if you don't go through the narrow gate, what are you going through? The wide gate. Mm-hmm. And what do you say the wide gate leads to? Destruction. You have to go through the narrow gate. And I can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. Julie, can you read to me the second scripture in Ephesians I gave to you before we started?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter, I think it's Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
Now, okay, let's stop and understand what Paul just said there. He said, the first thing you read was, it says, if you heard him. Is that what it says? If you heard him. So he's talking to people that have received the word of God. He's talking to people that are saved. Let's just say it like that. He is not talking to the world. He's talking to people that we would consider Christian people. So he says, if you've truly heard him, in other words, if you're not messing, you've truly heard the word of God, and he has, you have become a Christian, then he says you have a job to do. He says this is your job. You have to put the old man off, and you have to put the new man on. Now, again, that goes totally against what the church is preaching today. The church today says that if you've been saved and received Christ, that he has done all the work and you don't have to do anything. I stand there, I'm complete and I'm done, and I don't have to do anything at all. And it's so wrong. Mm-hmm. No, he's done the work to make you a new creation in your spirit. He's made you. And you see, people, because they don't understand the difference, it totally messes up the message that's being given in these scriptures. No, when you're saved, you are made a new creation, but only in your spirit. Your spirit, man, has been made new so that you can begin to do the work of God. You can't even begin to walk as a godly person until you've been saved. You can't even start the process. There is no process until you've been saved. So he makes you gives you a new heart, makes you a new spirit so that you can then say, now I can start the process. I can start the salvation, the sanctification process. I can start it now. And how do you start? By every day putting off the old man. Every day putting off the old man and the old things, and then beginning to put on the new things. You say, but I thought my spirit was already new. Your spirit is, but your mind,
right,
and your body,
right,
and your life, and everything about you has to become new and holy. What does it talks about? The renewing of our minds. That's what it's talking. It's not talking about your spirit. Go read that scripture. It's not talking about your spirit. It's talking about the renewing of your minds. You say, does God care about that? Absolutely he does. Because you can't walk in holiness otherwise. Mm-hmm. You can't. And you say, Pastor, what you're saying to me is that people cannot be saved otherwise? And what I'm saying to you is this, that better be the way you consider it. Because I'm not gonna sit here as God and say who is and who isn't saved. What I'm saying is what A.W. Tozier said, is that the remnant is really small, and the remnant is what is saved. And you had better live your life thinking to yourself, I have to daily put off the old man and put on the new man, because I don't want to be one of those that thinks that I've given my heart to the Lord, that thinks that because I've been dunked in water, that I'm okay, and I'm sitting there and I'm knocking on the door, but Lord, I did this for you and I did that for you. And Jesus said, I never knew you. You didn't, I don't know you. You had better consider your life in the way of, you know what, I need to be like Paul and say, I've not gotten there yet. I've got to keep working to get, I've got to keep walking holiness. I've got to keep doing it. Which brings me, you know, to this final point. You're not going to find these answers at a what I like to call the seeker-friendly churches. You're not. You're not going to find these answers at Joe Blow Baptist down the road. You're not going to do it. You say, "Oh, but you know, they're really Bible-based. They really know their scripture there." Knowing scripture doesn't get you to heaven. Knowing, sitting there and drinking your coffee every morning and reading the Bible doesn't get you to heaven.
What did you say on Sunday? The devil knows the Bible better than you?
He knows it better than you do. That doesn't get you. Going on mission trips doesn't get you to heaven. It doesn't. It doesn't get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is everything that we've talked about today. That's what is what Hebrews 12 says. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Going on a mission trip isn't holiness. Reading your Bible isn't holiness. Those things are not holiness. What is holiness? It's what Paul said. He said, come out. Come out from them. Come out. And do not even touch what is unclean. He said, then I'll receive you. What does it mean to be received? It's talking about going to heaven. Then I'll receive you and I will be your God. That's how you, in Galatians 5:25, it says, if you live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit guarantees you nothing. Walking in the Spirit says, I'm walking in holiness. I'm coming out from amongst them, and I'm not even touching what is unclean. That's how you do it. So again, don't tell me what they're doing at this place down the road. Don't tell me how they baptized 10,000 people last week. Don't tell me how they went on the mission trips and gave them goats and dug wells for them. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me how Bible-based they are. Don't tell me that. That's not what I'm reading in the Word of God. It says, after you're saved, come out. Come out from amongst them. And so I invite you, come to the city on a hill. Come to a place that has set its face to come out. Come out from amongst them. We have a heritage of 170 years of coming out. We had a group of people, again, 170 years ago in another country that said this entire country, the entire country of Armenia was a Christian nation. But they said, we're coming out. And God saved and blessed that small group of people because they did what we talked about today. And now God is using us again. And I say to you, come and be a part of a small group of people that have set their face to be a remnant. Come join us. We talk about God has given us an ark here. I can't talk, now's not the time. But come to the ark where God's protection is. Come join us and see if God doesn't change your life. Praise the Lord. Benji, close us out.
All right, we got our regular schedule going on right now. Sunday morning, 11 a.m., Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Occasional ark encounters at Pastor Danny's discretion, as always. And we got our Sunday morning and Wednesday night services are always in person and online on all of our social platforms. Our social platforms include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Every day of the week, we have something going on. Devotions come out every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. These Calling the Remnant podcasts every Friday at 8 p.m. online. Podcasts are available on Spotify, wherever else you get your podcast. You can tell Siri and Alexa to play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast. And one more new thing, be on the lookout for our new website coming out in the next few weeks. We'll be releasing more details very soon.
Praise God. Not next few weeks, next few days. We're going to be running it live. And I told them, just get up what you got, and then we'll do work to add to it as we move forward. So be looking for that. Praise God. Sunday, 11 a.m., we meet at the altar. That's how we start our services. We meet at the altar and we have communion every single Sunday morning. That's how we start. I hope to see you there. God bless you.